Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Thursday to you. Got plenty to discuss today, including what many people are saying already is a great radio segment. After last night's set of games, I want you to know that the segment that's sweeping the nation, Fade Brad Carson, is off to a red-hot start after last night. We will discuss that. There is no question about it. I was locked in for both games, the Eastern Conference play-in. One of them was competitive. The other, surprisingly, was not, thanks to a young man I'm going to have to come around on. His name? Coby White, because I've always hated him. But I guess this year is one of the league's most improved players. I can either get with it or get hit with it. Coby White was fantastic last night for the Chicago Bulls. We'll talk about last night's NBA games. We'll talk about what's ahead. We got a couple more play-ins. Found out after the show that Memphis is not just going to be playing a home-and-home with Mississippi State. We knew that on the show as we got out, obviously, too. They've got Ole Miss, and we'll share what we think about that. Obviously, a good thing. Weird interaction yesterday between Greg Doyle and Caitlin Clark that we'll have to get to. Greg Doyle, a former friend of the station, right?
Yeah.
And a great columnist. There's no question about it. Weird deal as Caitlin Clark was introduced yesterday as the newest member of the Indiana Fever, number one pick in the draft. And speaking of interactions, I had a very uncomfortable one yesterday with an official.
Wow.
Of sorts. We'll get to that.
Uncomfortable conversations with a black man by Emmanuel Acho.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
I didn't get that.
Okay.
I didn't get that book.
Well, you had one.
Yes.
You didn't read it, but you had one.
Yeah. I did. I did a brother. It was black on black yesterday. It was.
Oh, no.
Black on half, black however y'all want, whatever y'all are calling me today. I like to consider myself a brother.
Yeah, whatever you identify.
But yeah, it was an uncomfortable, and he was in an official position when I say that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a Shelby County Sheriff's Deputy.
A Shelby County Sheriff's Deputy. Jason was
had an interaction yesterday, Brad. I probably need to report it to you as program director.
God, was that bad?
I mean, I had an interaction with a Shelby County Sheriff's Deputy yesterday. In an official capacity.
He got tased.
So I've got to probably report that to work. And so we'll get to what happened there.
Oh, boy.
Because obviously I feel very strongly about what I have some real feelings about the interaction there. So Greg Doyle had his interaction. I had mine yesterday as well.
Yeah, so we will talk about that exchange that did not make the evening news, thankfully. So
yeah. I might be blowing up my spot.
Maybe he's blowing up his spot
Maybe I will have the reporters come in here after we talk about it.
I think.
And ask about what happened yesterday about 5 o'clock.
I think I should be applauded for even being here today.
And, Brad, I want you to know first that before I,
that my honesty, I was open about this, right? So when you're considering it later, right, when it's up for review.
Absolutely.
When I want you to consider that
my
honesty
was
what I started
with. This is a corporation.
I told you about it.
I have to, as you all know very well, it is a corporation and I follow protocol. I sometimes have to follow protocol in spite of myself.
Yeah. Listen, I think I should be applauded today.
Should I hit the applause button?
Not yet.
Oh, what, wearing Raiders gear again?
Oh, no, because I got out of bed today knowing that Asia Wilson doesn't have a signature shoe. I somehow managed to do it.
Is that applause?
I would like an applause.
Okay.
It's been something that's really pained me. It's been a struggle for me knowing that she doesn't have one. And Caitlin Clark has one now at Nike. And I kind of wonder. I looked at Sam. I was like, "Do I go on? Do we go on now that Caitlin Clark has a signature shoe and Asia Wilson doesn't?" You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a blatant show of racism. It's a blatant show of sexism. It's a blatant show of all the terrible things in America that Caitlin Clark has as a signature shoe and Asia Wilson doesn't. We're not really handling this very well today in America. Or at least it seems like on the internet. But we will talk about it a little bit later in the show. Eric Hasseltine is going to join us at 11:30. Bang, bang. Raider gang. Know what I'm saying? Oakland Athletics alum. Former. Where is he a product of? It's one of the California, like UC Davis, maybe? I think so. I hope so, Eric. So we'll talk to Eric about the Memphis Grizzlies season wrapping up and some things he has going on.
Is he a Raiders guy? No, he's an Oakland guy.
I think he might have, like...
Oh, he's a Packer.
He's a Packers
okay,
fan.
I think he
might have started, like, doing some... Maybe around the Raiders somehow.
No. What I remember about Eric was that he owned my Bears.
Right. Yes. And he's got a quarterback again to do just that.
Those days are over.
Is that so?
A week from tonight.
Is that so?
Don't you ever forget.
Some people are saying the draft should have been tonight.
My fortunes change a week from tonight.
People said the draft should have been tonight since there's no NBA.
Not just my fortunes. The fortunes of an entire city.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Kobe White, Kobe Bryant. That's how the Hawks made that man look last night. I'm like, hey.
Well, tell Kobe White there's a new CW coming to town.
That was like N1 mixtape he was putting on the Hawks last night. Good grief.
Yeah, Hawks should be ashamed of themselves.
Oh, man, they quit. Yeah, we'll talk about all that today here on the show. Eric Hasseltine going to join us at around 11:30. And then at 1:25, Jeff Kyle going to join us at 1:25. So that's the show today. Looking forward to it as always. But, hey, it's Thursday. Let's do a little over-under.
It's Jason and John's over-under. Over. Over. Under. Under.
Well, we start out with... apparently me.
You did good.
Well, I'll just read it off here. Brad's max wager on FanDuel limit today, $40,000.
Over. Under.
Yeah, the FanDuel execs were listening yesterday. They said, my God, we have a gold mine in Memphis.
Apparently a lot of people listen to the radio show. I had my friend Eric Flanders from over at Fleet Feet Sports was betting with me, or I guess you could say against me.
He cashed.
He cashed. Like people are already cashing on fading my ass.
Listen, we have a provided to you all a gold mine with Brad. Brad is just he is a square. He has the biggest limits of anybody on. I think honestly in recorded history,
or possibly.
And there's no question that if you were betting those on the app, your limit would have gone up. Now, I don't think you did bet them. I think it's just your picks. So yeah. I don't think your limit would have actually changed. But
I just checked it, too.
Okay, gotcha. So, ladies and gentlemen, you're welcome. 2-0 start. What a hot start if you faded Brad in the play-in yesterday.
Amazing.
And I would say neither game a sweat.
No.
I mean, there was really never any doubt that the Miami Heat were going to cover the 5.5. They led for like 98% of the game.
Right.
And then the Hawks, of course, as we know, laid down pretty much from the beginning. So
was it 5.5 at tip time?
Yeah.
It hadn't moved much from when Brad made the pick.
Yeah, Brad said 5. I think at the time we said it was 5. Yeah. And
no, it wasn't then at the end. Yeah, okay.
Now,
yeah.
To my credit, before I did, in fact, make an official pick, which was accurate, which was, if you were fading me, was workable.
Mm-hmm.
I did say, man, I'd probably stay away with this with the number.
Oh, no, you did say that.
But, John forced you.
No, he forced me. That is part of the we did yesterday.
It has to be versus the spread.
Right? Here's the deal. Gun to head. Make a pick, dude, and we're going to fade your ass.
And that's – and look, again
– many, many people cashed in.
Yes. Apparently.
I would like people to thank us. I'd like people to send in their thanks.
Eric Flanders at Fleet Feet is cashing his check today.
Eric Flanders should give us all a pair of shoes, a custom pair of shoes.
Right, Fleet Feet, man.
That say Fade Brad. Yeah. And
it was a stake in the heart for the Hawks.
Yeah, boy, it was.
Yeah,
and it wasn't close.
You know, I will say in terms of the games themselves, it's sort of hard to believe Miami lost that game. I mean, it felt like they were in complete control.
I don't know. At the end, it just felt like Tyler Hero was
it was
you take us there, and
Hero
if not,
ball.
We're dead.
Yes, it was.
And he dang near took them. But you're right. Beforehand, what they had him down, double digits.
And then I don't really – I think what ended up happening, honestly, is just like Jimmy was playing on the adrenaline of the knee.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the adrenaline wore off, it was like, I can't do anything.
And that was unfortunate.
Yeah.
Again, to see another one of these games affected by a pretty big injury.
Absolutely.
I mean, Zion couldn't continue the other night. Now you got Jimmy, you know. It clearly affected their chances and will.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
You're exactly right.
They were in position to prove us all wrong.
Both teams.
I'd sat up here and said heat culture's dead. They're, you know,
both
and then
teams.
They're up double digits in that game.
Yeah.
And so it's unfortunate that an injury certainly impacted that game greatly.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, they are favored against the Bulls tomorrow night, but it's hard to see sort of where the offense comes. You know,
I don't know. My Bulls are good at laying down. Had a double digit lead on the Heat last year and can't let them. We just talked about that with Friedel earlier in the week. And you let him come back and win, and what did he do? Make a push all the way.
I think that is like the...
Bulls can look good one night and say, oh, you know what, there's some pieces there. Then the next night you say, what in the world is this? Blow this thing up. That's the Chicago Bulls right now.
Yeah.
It's the state of them.
Yeah, it is. They looked incredible last night, though. My God.
I mean, Vucevic is a former All-Star. You know what I'm saying? He has good nights. And when Kobe White's getting 42 on you.
Yes.
You got DeRozan who's going to do his mid-range thing.
I'm curious to see if you agree with Wilbon. Wilbon at the half said, this is what the Bulls do. They will look so good in a half.
He's right.
To where the organization will say, we have to keep this thing together.
He's right.
And then in the third quarter, they'll give up a 14-0 run.
He knows us well. And that's probably what it's going to look like against Miami when they're beating us. I say us. I'm ashamed by where the organization is.
And you should be.
How's that? Remember the florist we picked up?
Pat Williams.
How's that working out?
Is he on the roster?
It has not worked out.
Man.
I will say I'm holding my hand. I was way wrong about Kobe White. Now, I was looking good for a while there. It looked like he's just an inefficient shot jacker. This dude put together a phenomenal season. He's absolutely been fantastic. So, initially, that pick at North Carolina, hated it. He's panned out. Him and Io are, you know, pretty dynamic. It's not going anywhere. They're just, ugh. That's what it is. You're sort of stuck in purgatory. You look good, and then you'll be back to, you know, below average. Anyway, enough talk about the Hawks-Bulls game, please.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was
as cringy as the Caitlin press conference.
It was a destruction. It was a destruction.
It was.
Fade Brad. If you faded Brad, you made money on the NBA last
Amazing.
Night.
You said the likelihood was going to go 1-1.
Yes, that was the likelihood.
He beat Fade Brad Carson stronger than that. That segment is stronger than that.
Well, you've solidified Brad. You're having to do this every day that there's playoff games.
2-0.
I'm fine with it. We have to carry content here. We got a summer ahead, but I will say the
playoffs.
The over under was that you said did it go up to 40? So you're now going to have to guess if it went below $40,000 or above.
Oh no, it didn't move. It didn't move.
No, it actually goes down
because you didn't put the actual bets in.
Right.
That's what John said.
If you had put
the bets in.
Yeah, the reason why it's going to be lower today.
And it's based on what's the teams, and every one of these changes the way these analytics work and these apps.
And because the reason why it's lower today is because those games are 24 hours out.
Right.
Right? So your limit is going to be lower.
Yeah. So like the Bulls, if you were doing this, for example, and you put a max wager of, you start typing in the ones, it's like 8,000 or 9,000.
Right.
What you can bet
tomorrow
on.
It'll be back up to your normal limits.
See, we're also getting educated through your piece here.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, listen, that's the way
it
works.
If you want to put that thing up to 80,000 like them porters,
you need to
put these bets in, and they will raise you up. You just keep losing.
Raise me up.
A couple dollars instead
keep
of
losing. You're on your way.
No, trust me.
Our listeners will profit from it.
That's
y'all,
what the,
as
Brad
your limit
Carson.
Goes up.
Where's my Josh Groban? That's what the FanDuel executives say when they see Brad Carson put the bet in. You raised me up so I can stand.
I mean, we're hitting that 100%. So.
Yikes.
Yeah, look, Brad, you don't have to be ashamed of it, man. It's very, very difficult to win. It's insanely difficult to win. 99.9% of people are not going to win. And I dare say that of that 99.9% of people that can't win, you are in the top 1%.
Very small percentage.
You are in the top
elite
1%
territory.
Percentile.
Yeah, well.
Okay? Now, look, here's my prediction about the way this thing's going to go. Here we go. FanDuel is 11.
You raise me up.
I mean, they're going to have an earnings call in April. Say, there's this guy in Memphis.
Me and Porter.
He's horrible.
You know, somebody who is worse than me? Shohei's an interpreter.
That is true.
There will be one.
There's one of one.
We need to get him on this. We need to get him on this segment.
Fade the interpreter.
Fade Ipe.
Is that his name?
Yeah, Ipe.
Yes, it is.
So here's my prediction. We're going to do this for the entirety of the playoffs, which is going to go from April until June.
Right.
And right now your record is 0-2.
Yes,
you're
0-2. That's right, yes.
My prediction is you're going to end up somewhere around 500. That's my prediction.
You said that last night and he broke you.
That's my prediction.
Fade Brad Carson broke you.
I don't know about that.
And broke the experts.
I doubt that.
You say it's 0-2, but it's really 2-0 for our listeners.
But really.
Because the segment is Fade Brad Carson,
yes,
so it's really 2-0.
If you look at
so how should we
It should be framed that way because the segment should be Fade Brad Carson.
Yeah, you want to lose. You want me losing.
He's 2-0.
I mean, no.
The segment is 2-0.
He's not 2-0.
I'm not. You need to fade me, so I need to be
0-4.
You want more O's than the opposite.
Yeah, so if you fade Brad.
Don't try to make me feel better here, Jason. Yeah, I see where you're going.
What I'm saying is our listeners are 2-0 if you faded Brad Carson.
Our listeners' record fading Brad is 2-0.
1,000%.
Right. I am 0-2. You want me losing.
Yeah,
you winless and then undefeated.
Now, I will say I did a little math on this. You predicted 50-50, 500.
I
disagree. If you look at the FanDuel record history, we did this yesterday, and we talked about how much money I've lost on there. It's about 20%. That's where it's at.
You're negative ROI.
I'm losing 75-80% of the time.
Right. Well, no, you're not losing that much. You're losing about you're losing about 55-60%.
Right.
Of the time.
Yeah. I'm losing a lot.
Yeah. Because the juice gets you right.
Thank you. Yes.
The juice is where
you're
lose.
The expert on this.
So again, profitable though. If you're losing 55% of the time, right?
Yes. Yes.
If you're on the other side,
right?
You're doing really well.
Just study up for tomorrow's two games for us.
Yeah. I think less research might be better for our listeners.
You might be right.
Well, I don't really think it's going to matter.
No,
right?
I don't either.
Do it the Brad Carson way.
Yeah,
that's what
fair.
You normally do.
Yeah. Which is half-ass
exactly.
When it comes to gambling.
I wouldn't think too – I mean,
which
listen.
Is what most gamblers do, honestly. They are not prepping like John Martin.
100%.
They're not doing that.
100%.
They're not. You know how passive they are? That's why FanDuel runs an ad that says, look at this sexy parlay with this over
for
Jontay Porter, or whoever.
Exactly. No, it's the truth. It's hard to win, as you showed. Yep. Unless you fade Brad, it's easy to win.
Thank you.
So anyway, his limit will not go up yet, but it still could.
Okay, you're going to have to inform me on this Greg Doyle thing because I've been doing other things. But pairs of, and then we'll go to the question. This is the over-under. Pairs of Caitlin Clark signature shoes you'll buy. The linesmiths have set this at 0.5. Will you buy a pair of shoes is the question, over-under.
Yeah, look, I'm a Caitlin Clark convert. As you guys know, I did not like the whole Pistol Pete thing when she broke the record. I was not a fan of that.
Yeah, you were a real hater.
But everything since then, I mean, I adore Caitlin Clark. I think she's great. I think she's a star. I think she is a perfect sort of.
In fact, one time you told us you had a take that was so hot.
What was my take, bro?
You said you couldn't tell us. I think you were on such
it.
A side
no,
yes, about
yes.
Caitlin, but
yes,
you truly
yes.
have.
Yes. It's
converted.
I still kind of feel the way I feel.
We never got to hear it.
Right, it's a gameplay.
Those are sexist feelings, I have a feeling.
No, they're not sexist feelings.
Sexist.
No,
okay.
They're about her style of play.
Oh.
It's about her style of play and who she reminds me of.
But since you buried it.
Yeah, I buried it.
Oh, I see.
Because this woman literally won him over.
It's in the vault.
Thank you.
It's in the vault, and maybe it comes out one day if I bet the Fever to win the title and they don't or something. But for now, it's going to just have to be marked away and locked away.
You love her now.
I'm going to absolutely buy a pair of Caitlin Clarks, and I'm going to buy a pair of Caitlin Clarks for Riley Martin. You're damn right. I'm all about it, man. She, you know, all those little Caitlin Clarks around here running around playing basketball.
See the little sparkle in your eye.
And as we said, this has, I know that inevitably in every conversation we have in 2024, race is an element and a factor. But as I said before, and as I've said before, if she was an Asian woman or a black woman or a Hispanic woman or whatever woman, and she was pulling up from 30 feet, it would be the same thing. She would change the game in the same way. I mean, we've never seen somebody do that. That's the difference. Yes, she happens to be a white woman from the Midwest, and does that add to it? You know, in America, probably it does. But by and large, I think we all tuned in, not because she was a white girl from the Midwest. It was that there's a college basketball player in women's college basketball who's pulling up from 30 feet and making them and, like, doing it. So, look, in terms of the markability, you know, I'll let the sociologist sort of have that out. But will I be buying a pair of Caitlin Clarks? I'll be buying the truck. I'll be buying the truck.
You'll be at the train when people are stealing them off the train. You'll be there to pick the whole load up.
Let me get a 10.5 real quick before y'all get out of here.
I'm going to say no.
You're going to say over. You are a supporter.
I'm not buying any of them, and I'll tell you why. I got a very good reason.
Oh, let's hear it.
You can go on the Nike app right now, and just like you used to do with the Kobe's,
yeah,
go look at some Sabrinas, the Ionescu's. You can design your own pair.
Yep.
I was making myself, and I've still got it in my queue, a Chicago Bears pair for this season.
Of Sabrina Ionescu.
Sabrina, they're cooler. And if I can't change if I can't do that with Caitlin's, and that's very specific. You could do that with Kobe's, and they've given this options to Sabrina. I think it makes the line much cooler. The NBA guys are wearing that. If I buy a woman's shoe, a woman's signature shoe, it's going to be the Ionescu's.
Well, how do you know that they?
Bless you.
How do you know that they won't? Absolutely.
No, don't push back on that. That's my choice.
No, it is your choice.
I'm not buying the Caitlin's because I don't think she's going to have that option. They're not going to be.
What if they did?
Have you seen? There's 77 NBA players that wore her shoe this year.
Look,
more NBA players wore her shoe than Jaws.
You ain't got to be a hater your whole life. You don't know how if you're
going to
be able to.
Including Drew Holiday, who's going to the Olympics, wore them all season long and has had one of his best years in them, including best 3-point shooting percent. The shoes are great. They said they're the closest thing to Kobe's.
I'm hearing Reed
so
Shepard.
You better
play in Caitlin's.
Caitlin ain't coming close to what we got going on with these Sabrinas.
Come on now.
Go make you a Raiders pair. It's fun. Okay?
Bro, Caitlin we're going to have that option on Caitlin.
Caitlin won't have that.
We will.
We'll see.
If we do?
Again.
If we do.
Maybe they gave it out too early. Maybe they should have put that on the Caitlin. You can't do it to both now.
Okay.
Then it's not exclusive to Sabrina.
Well,
you can go on that Nike app and change it up. You can make it any color you want to. Very cool.
Yeah.
Her shoes will be cooler.
Caitlin Clark.
Now yours, again, the little girls all across the country. Caitlin's it's a Caitlin takeover.
It's a yes.
But in terms of NBA popularity,
yes.
I believe Sabrina's will still reign.
Interesting.
So just know. Check
well,
you on that.
He has taken a very off the beaten path angle
Superstore.
On this
yep.
is what he's done.
Yeah, you didn't expect that answer, did you?
You're looking at
the
this from the
aren't gonna be cleaner.
He's looking at this from the performance piece of it. And we don't care about that. We'll play in the chocolate.
No, they literally said these are the closest thing to Kobe's is what the players are saying in terms of how they feel on their feet. She's got one of the best shoes out. McMahon just did a story about it on ESPN a couple of weeks ago. Its popularity.
Yeah. So let me ask you this.
So it's a different popularity that I'm saying. You know, mine's with NBA guys and then with a man.
Mine's with
like
America.
Me. Yeah.
Mine's with America.
Yours is going to be with girl dads.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a girl dad anymore.
Yes, you are. You're still that. You're
a real girl dad. Only
don't
has
turn
girls.
That down. Riley would—you would break her heart if she heard you say that.
I have a daughter, but I'm not a girl dad.
What you say is you're not just a girl dad
right.
anymore.
But I think that's what girl dad means.
But you'll always be a girl dad. She'll always be number one.
She is. She's numero uno.
Yeah.
But I have a son now. You know.
So now you just graduated.
Girl,
now you're just dad.
I think girl dads are like you only have daughters. I think that's the actual true.
I don't know, man. That sounds like you're trying to put a definition on that, a period on. I'm not sure. Is that the case?
I think so. Yeah,
so girl dad has to be all girls.
I think so. Like Josh Pastner was a girl dad until he wasn't. You know, Josh Pastner
you're getting too caught up. I really just rattled your brain with that Ionescu take. It's better.
Well, I think you're wrong. Josh Pastner has a kid that's younger than Riley, just so you know.
Really?
Yeah.
How many children does he have now?
I think he's up to 15.
I figured it was up there.
I'm just kind of shocked he wasn't in play for the BYU job.
Over. Under.
Bro does not stop, and he, if you know what I mean.
It's over, huh?
Every time we talk on the phone, he's like, you going to have a third? He's like, I wouldn't do it.
No, don't do it.
Carey, just look at Josh. Oh, here he comes again.
Exactly.
The older I get.
Josh pushed for it, I'm told.
Man.
I'm sure.
One and more?
Yeah, he well, not now, but at the most recent, the two-year-old that he has, he's 45 years old. You know?
Man.
Crazy, man. Crazy what he's doing out here.
Yeah.
Real
Don't
quick.
Do that.
Real quick. A lot of people upset.
Oh, no.
I know that this may shock you. A lot of people upset, period. But in this instance, they are upset that Caitlin Clark is getting a signature shoe and Asia Wilson doesn't have one.
I mean, again, you've had former, I just read about this with the UNESCO thing. You've had other. Cheryl Swoops had one, I want to say, at one time. Maya Moores had one at one time. Now, I don't understand why De'Asia, why she doesn't have one. But we've seen black WNBA players have signature shoes. I tell you that she should. I mean, with the aces and everything else that she's got, that she should. But it's not a deal where you've just got white women who've had a signature shoes with Nike. And then you've got the men's side with, my gosh, look at Nike's lineup. It's practically all black. In terms of signature shoes.
Yeah, I'm triggered.
So I'm not sure exactly why she doesn't have one, but we've had other black players with black female players, women players with signature shoes. She seems deserving of one. So this is not Caitlin versus black girls. Other signature shoe athletes, they've had them, have been black. They've just been, now they're sort of phased out. I think Candace Parker might have had one too.
Well, like Adidas.
And she's still playing, is she not? And so
Adidas,
that's what I'm saying.
Like, I mean, the standard is a little different at Nike, right? Like, it's hard to get a signature shoe at Nike. There's a lot of, like, Nikola Jokic doesn't have a signature shoe, right? He doesn't have a, you know, I don't know what brand he plays in, but he doesn't have a
that
signature
might, shoe. Yeah, I have no idea what his situation is.
But, like, I feel like I everybody, the only signature shoe that is in the WNBA before, that Nike, by the way, we're only talking about Nike, before.
No, Cheryl Swoops had one.
And with Nike?
Mm-hmm.
The only active WNBA player that has a signature shoe with
Lisa
Nike
Leslie.
Right now is Ionescu, as you said. And she went to Oregon, right? She was super tight with Phil. It's the only one. It's Breanna Stewart is with Puma. Asia Wilson would have a signature shoe if she went with Puma, right? But you don't want to go with Puma. You want to be with Nike.
All right.
Nike doesn't give signature shoes. You know? I mean, they just don't. I don't know what the marketability is. I don't know, like, I'm assuming that they have done analysis on these things. It's a no-brainer to give Caitlin Clark a signature shoe given her popularity right now, bro. Like, it's just like you'd be making a huge, you'd be fumbling the bag if you didn't. I don't have the data in front of me. But, again, knowing that only one WNBA player that's active besides Caitlin Clark having a signature shoe, to me, tells me they don't hand out signature shoe deals unless you went to Oregon. Like, and unless you were super close with. And as you said, Sabrina's a guard. NBA players love her shoe, right?
Candace is Adidas. I'm looking at it now.
Yeah. I think Asia Wilson would get a signature shoe if she went to Adidas, if she went to Puma. If that's what you're about, I mean, she should. She should go get one. I'm not saying that she doesn't deserve one. I'm just saying Nike is notorious. They are notorious for being. I mean, Devin Booker didn't get a. Does he have a signature shoe? If he does, it didn't happen until his ninth year in the league. You know what I'm saying?
This says the actives are Elena. Did you have her?
Elena Deladon, no.
Her, Stewart, and Ionescu as
who's
the ones
Deladon
with actives.
With?
She has a Nike deal.
She has a signature shoe?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I'm reading from a man's story. He just wrote this 2 weeks ago. Said Cheryl Swoops' Nike deal began in 1995, spanned 7 years. Rebecca Lobo, Reebok, Nicki McRae had one with Fila, Candace Parker's with Adidas, Breanna Stewart, Puma are among those who followed. Elena Deladon, who has a Nike deal, joined Stewart and Ionescu as active WNBA players with signature shoe deals.
Yeah, I see. It's called the Deladon.
Mm-hmm.
It's not popular at all. It goes for like.
But if you're looking at who's active right now,
right.
It's all white women.
Yeah.
I mean, Ionescu's that, right?
Yes.
Yes.
But can we not? I mean, she went to Oregon. Can we not kind of say that she's a, you know.
Let me tell you who needs a signature. And I guess she had one at one time, I think, is Dawn Staley. Why would she not have one? I know she's not playing, but it'd be like the Kobe. It'd be like the Kobe. She had some Zooms or something back in the day. I was just reading, yeah. The S5, the Nike Zoom S5 for Dawn Staley. They ought to bring that back like Kobe's with how hot she is.
Would you wear an Asia Wilson shoe? Would you buy a pair of Asia Wilson?
Nike right now doesn't have any black signature shoe athletes in the WNBA. They should get one. Yeah. And I guarantee you the next one would be Juju Watkins.
Yeah, Juju. Maybe Paige Becker. Did she get one?
No, we said black.
Oh,
We got three white ones right now.
I'm sorry.
That are active.
Dude, I said I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I mean, we're holding them accountable here. So you came on with, everybody calm down.
Yes.
But what we've seen now is that, you know what, for Nike now, because Candace is Adidas and others.
Right, Nike is, we're talking,
that, that lineup
deal.
Is all white right now, and you're adding another white person to it.
Okay, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
So Wilson, you know.
I'm fine with that.
She's probably next up.
But you're going to have to come over our way on the men's side, you know.
Nobody's getting close.
Did you watch the fourth quarter of the 76ers game yesterday, sir?
Sir, sir, he couldn't get him over
sir?
The top.
Sir, we can't get a Tyler Hero signature shoe, bro.
No,
it's the Hero.
Stop.
It's the Hero. See, this is wrong.
So we'll give it to a Chinese company.
This is no. We're done with a Chinese. Okay,
bro. Our lineup is full black.
What about
now again?
Flag.
If you count,
can we get Cooper Flag in a signature shoe?
He'll have a shot.
See, that's what y'all want to do. Y'all just want to make us wait 2-3 years. I want it right now.
But we need to get a black woman. How does Brittany Griner not have a shoe?
Is she still?
Is she out here running up and down?
I think. Well, she was in Russia. You know, I think we had to get her back from Russia, and then the negotiations kind of stalled. But I don't. Isn't she kind of like past her best days?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I mean, I think it's a little late, but. Again, we can discuss.
The Dawn Staley shoe should be back out. They literally used to have one. They should re-release like
again.
The
let's do this. You get get your hard asks together, and I'll get mine together.
I just schooled you on the UNESCO fool.
And we can come to the table. Maybe we can reach an agreement. You know, but you need to come in good faith. And I feel like you're not coming in good faith to the table.
Check your list. It's all white as usual.
All right. Hey, the deputy yesterday was a brother, all right? He was a brother that pulled Joe. We didn't even get to it, but we will. We have to hear what happened. I don't even know what happened. I'm on pins and needles about this. Jason got pulled over. He was issued a ticket. We don't know what happened.
What I resent most is that most of the stories talked about, you know, that have been talked about on 92.9 in terms of interactions with police and deputies always involve a pass.
Always involve a pass.
Because right? Remember
Except
GP telling those
involved.
Stories? You know, you guys get passes, get stopped all the time. Did I get a pass? What you think?
We'll talk about it. We'll discuss it. Signature shoes, warnings, not happening for Jason today. We'll come back with Eric Hasseltine, get his thoughts on the Grizzly season. Lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Tiny is the radio voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll get to some things he's got going on today. A little bit later, he joins us now. What's up, E-Money? Thanks for the time.
No, thank you for having me, because it was my request to come on this fine radio program that airs every day, Monday through Friday, 11 to 2 on these very airwaves.
Palatial Odyssey Memphis Studios.
The Palatial Studios by the freeway.
Yeah, they're not as palatial anymore. We're actually going to be downsizing. But
really? Okay.
Hey, there's a lot of unused space.
Getting rid of there was a room that was like there for people waiting for meetings that I used to just go sneak into and take naps, but I never revealed
that.
I
think that's the room we're getting rid of, exactly, yes.
Elvis room, that one's going away. That whole sales side is, because everybody's remote on the sales side, kind of unnecessary.
Oh. Yeah.
So what's going to move in there? I mean, are you going to have, like, just randos in there, like playing video games and stuff?
I think we're actually going to be for homeless people. If we're going to have...
That's our Odyssey Homeless Awareness Thing. Yeah.
If my son's athletic endeavors keep costing me money, I very well may be.
Hey, come on. Come on down. All right, so we'll get to that in just a minute. But as someone who's been – how long have you been with the Grizz? How many years are we up to now?
I just finished my 23rd season, brother.
23, MJ.
From day one in the pyramid,
awesome.
I've been there.
Big time. In terms of challenging, in terms of seasons that you've endured.
Not even in the top 10.
Not even in the top 10, he says. Wow.
No. Not even in the top 10. I'll tell you why. We knew the script was written when in five nights you lost five players to injury. You lose Ja, you lose Marcus, you lose Desmond on back-to-back-to-back games. Then you lose Jake, who at the time we didn't know what he really was. And still, there's still some questions about that. But we saw what I equated his end of the season was like the end of his rookie year. And he went from being incredibly reactionary to just a little bit reactionary, but much more instinctive, willing to catch and shoot. And we saw him hit some really tough threes. And, I mean, it wasn't like he did it like once and it was a prayer. I mean, I remember, Jason, you were talking about a shooting percentage. If you're going to be in here and be a shooter, you better shoot better than 29%. Well, he did down the stretch. But you lose Jake, and then you lose Luke, and I'm like, you just lost five guys in five nights. We're going to Boston with eight guys, two of whom had an actual NBA contract when the season started, like NBA contract, either two-way or not. And I was like, that's not a recipe for success. So what you were looking for was, are they going to play hard? Are they going to fight? Are they going to compete? Are they going to improve? And I think they answered all of those yes. I mean, were there nights they got their doors blown off? Sure. They ran out of gas. I mean, the Clipper game is the one that always stands out to me because I chuckled, and Elliot looks at me and goes, what are you laughing at? I said, we're closing with three guys that were on two-way deals, two guys that are on 10-day deals, and they're closing with Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Russell Westbrook's on the bench, Norman Powell, who may be the sixth man of the year, and Ivica Zubac, who's a really good big man. This ain't going to go well. I mean, you're just not – you can't keep fighting that fight. There is a line of demarcation where at some point talent wins out. And the reason why bad teams win games against good teams in the NBA is that line of demarcation is a little bit – you know, it's not as great because you have actual NBA players. You have first-round draft picks. As bad as San Antonio was, they're loaded with first-round draft picks. They're going to play together and figure it out. They're young. That's part of being young. And, you know, the Thunder were that way. And then they turned a corner. They got a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So this wasn't that challenging because the mood and the spirits on the trips was never just woe is me, oh my gosh. The coaches never acted like they were feeling sorry for themselves. In fact, it lightened it up a little bit knowing what you were dealing with and just going, hey, as long as we get them to go out and play our brand of basketball, we know it's more than likely, you just look at the lines, the people in Vegas aren't idiots. When you're double-digit underdogs every night on the road to good teams, you're not going to win a lot of those games. And it's nothing against the guys. It's just that they didn't have a lot of experience and they really didn't have a true point guard. Scotty played his heart out, but he's not really been a facilitator at the NBA level and then just thrust into that. It's not an easy thing.
Seeing all the great ones like you have over the years and watching them over the years. And I heard you with Calkins and you talked about Gigi and how about all the things that came out of this year. Yeah. I mean, the way he stood out. And we're talking about a guy that's 19. And heck, he'll still be 19, Eric, on into next season. I think it's next December he'll turn 20. He'll still be a kid. So how do you envision, right, on a team that'll be about winning now next year, that special talent, how will the Grizzlies sort of, how much of the pie will they give him next year? How do you develop that in a time where clearly you've got to win and be a contender? How do you see it coming along?
I think you've got to, yes, you have to win. I think you need to bounce back hard and prove to people that you weren't a two-year, two-seed that was not real, because it was real. Just this year, you throw it out. And so you got to see Gigi, you're right. But any coach in the league, any team in the league that went through the injuries they went through, nobody wins 30 games. And, you know, they didn't win 30, they won 27. But there were at least eight or nine where I looked at it and I'm like, they could have easily won that game if they had one more guy, let alone four or five. I think you got to let him run. I think he's got to be in your top eight. I think he's got to be one of your primary bench scoring guys, if not your starter. Everybody's just assuming right off the bat they're not going to bring Marcus Smart off the bench. That's possible. But we also don't know what could happen in the offseason. If some trade comes across your desk that is really good for you moving forward and it involves somebody in on the roster, then you got to explore it. But Vince played well. Vince was an irritant. He's another defender with Marcus, and you can rotate. I mean, you got to run an 8 or 9 man rotation, and Gigi's got to be in it. And I think he's got to be your primary scorer, because what you saw was a kid that learned what will work and what won't work at the NBA level. And still, there were plenty of times he tried the stuff that won't work. I think another offseason of work and looking at tape and working on certain moves that become more fluid. Yep. The one thing you can't deny, and I like multiple analysts from other teams who almost all of them played in the NBA, went, that kid can shoot. Like, it's not like Steph Curry, like beautiful jump shot, or Desmond Bane, but he can shoot it. And, you know, he's testing the waters from 26, 27 feet and finding it. Now, was his shooting percentage off the charts? No, but find me a 19-year-old that started the league in the G League and really didn't get any run, and then is just thrust into, okay, now you're playing 28 minutes a night, figure it out. And he shoots, you know, for most of the season, shot around 40%. That's impressive. That's not, that's impressive, because it's only going to get better. And the learning part, and you said he's every bit of 19. Brother, let me tell you what, watching him was one of the great joys of the season, just watching his reaction to things.
Oh, yeah.
And he kind of got the more, okay, I get it now towards the end of the year, and he was more laser-like. But there were times, just a perfect example, we're in Sacramento, and I got a friend of mine out there. Her son is a big 13 or 14-year-old. He's like 6'1", 6'2", and he's a pretty good player, but he's raw. And I said, hey, man, I'll take you down, meet some of the guys, just talk to them, take a picture with them. It's a big deal for them. And he's a good kid. And Gigi comes by, and I said, hey, Gigi, this is the kid I was telling you about. And he goes, wow, you're 13 or 14. He goes, what size shoe you wear? He's like, 13. He goes, bro, keep working, because they're just giving money away in this league. And I said, oh, my God. I'm like, hey, Michael was the kid's name. I said, Michael, you actually have to practice and work to get to the league, though, and then the money's there. And Gigi's like, yeah, that's right. But they're giving away bags, bro, bags. And he walks off. Desmond Bane's going like, yo, man, our ride's waiting. Let's go. And I'm like, what a world. He's got probably more in common with this 14-year-old kid than he does with his teammates, but he's about to get in a car heading to San Francisco with a bunch of professional athletes who have a lot of zeros in their bank account. So it was fun. It was fun seeing that.
Yeah, I was watching the Heat 76ers game last night. I know the Miami Heat didn't win, but there were some contributions that they got, you know, from the non-Jimmy Butler, the non-Tyler Hero guys. DeLon Wright, right? Former Grizz. Didn't he have a cup of tea here? He hit some big threes.
He's a great guy. Loved when he was here. He was part of that in the transitional years. Yeah, he was picked up in the trade with Marc Gasol.
Yeah, he hit some big threes. They had a Haywood Highsmith out there making big-time shots. And Jaime Jaquez, the rookie, you know?
Picked up Highsmith on the free agent market and really has been fantastic. Played at Wheeling University. It's in West Virginia. You know how I know that? I called a game in an open-level men's tournament for the Wheeling Bulldogs of some really low-level pro team.
There you go.
That's where my career went from there to the NBA.
But, see, it was – and, again, the Heat didn't win mostly because Jimmy Butler's knee just gave out on him. But they were leading for the majority of the game, in part due to – sort of we always hear like, oh, the playoff rotations get whittled down. That's not always necessarily true. And when you're talking about winning games like this, a lot of times it is going to come down to your role players, whether or not they make those shots. So it feels like in a year, you know, for the Grizzlies, where maybe it's lost in some ways in terms of just competitiveness, maybe you gain that security in knowing that, hey, that could be Vince, that could be GG. They could easily fill one of those roles in a big playoff game next year.
I know people hate the Golden State Warriors, which I think is preposterous, because they play the game the right way. They move the basketball. They predicated an offense on, we got probably the greatest shooter that's ever set foot on an NBA court, but he's not just going out and shooting it 30 times. He's moving the ball. Thompson can shoot. We'll go get other guys. People get mad at the Kevin Durant signing there. Be mad at the TV deal. When you back a Brinks truck full of money and everybody's salary cap goes up by $35 million, and you have the money to spend because you've been smart with the rest of your roster, and one of the greatest players on earth says, hey, you know what? I want to go play with them. I enjoy playing with Steph and Clay on Team USA. I like those guys. I'm going to go play with them. Obviously, it was about winning a ring too, but they play the game the right way. And what Steve Kerr said when asked about this group, because he and Taylor are very close, it's like, hey, we don't win a championship without the year that we were bad because of injuries, and we lost Steph, and we lost Clay, and we lost Draymond for a while, and then we end up with a number two pick. But during those games, to get to that point, Jordan Poole goes out and becomes a more focal point of the offense. Therefore, he's able to contribute in big games. Now, there are some questions about Jordan Poole and his decision-making on the court, but at that time, that development was massive for them. It developed guys like Kevon Looney. It developed guys that helped them win. You don't win championships without other guys. As good as Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray were, they're not winning those games without Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, without guys coming off the bench like Reggie Jackson that can contribute. And now you've accelerated the development of some of your younger guys to become those guys. Now you have those guys and they're young, and you trust them to start games if someone needs a night off. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm trying to paint a rainbow in the middle of a thunderstorm, but there are some silver linings to this, and there are some things you take away from it. In the end, it was a hard year for the players. It's a hard year for the coaches. It's a hard year for the fans to watch them struggle like that, because we haven't seen that in a while. The last 5 years, you know, the first 4 years of Taylor Jenkins' tenure, you know, if Jaren Jackson Jr. and Tyus Jones aren't hurt in the bubble, there's no question to me they're in the playoffs. They played in the play-in game. They fought valiant. You know, they put up a great fight. Damian Lillard was just too much. Then they go the next year. They get out of the play-in tournament, go to Utah. They take their lumps in a series. They win game one with no Donovan Mitchell. But you saw Utah say, okay, we're going to use an 8-9-man rotation at the most, and the ninth guy, George Niang, is going to play 10 minutes at most, because he can't really run up and down the floor. As we've seen, George Niang's not exactly what we would call smelt and in great physical condition. But they used it to their advantage. And then so the Grizzlies do that. Boom, you're the number two seed. And you beat Minnesota, and you lose in a series with Golden State where Jaws banged up. Boom, you're the number two seed. But you lose Steven Adams and Brandon Clark, and you're the two seed because you built up wins. They had those guys for that at the end of the year. They're the one seed, and it's not close. So they can be there. And now you've got backup guys that really are better options than you've had in the past. The bench gets deeper, and the question becomes, what's Kennard's situation moving forward? Where do the ping pong balls fall? How does that affect what you do with Luke Kennard? If you get a high-level pick, if you move up in the draft, is that now dictating that you take a shooter, or are you still looking at a big? Are you going to move off the pick and move down and try to get a player with that? So there's a lot to digest there moving forward, but you're right. You know, without Jimmy Butler, Miami is a culture-based team. The next guy's got to step up, because they're not going to have him for the next couple weeks. And if they lose this next one to Chicago, then they're done. And that's, you know, it's disappointing, but that's sometimes the way it goes.
Yep, it is. All right, so Spirit Night is tonight out at Chick-fil-A on Poplar, 4916 Poplar.
Yes.
5-8 in support of, in part, Ghost River Brewers, 12 and under baseball. The way it works is you place a mobile order, you select support community event, and a percentage of those sales will go to support Ghost River Brewers, 12 and under baseball. Did I forget anything here, Eric?
No, other than thanking Scott Malone, the proprietor of the location, for doing this. One of our parents of our players works with them, Jamie Cooper. She's fantastic. She helps me out so much. With the administrative stuff, I was like, how hard can it be to like order uniforms and schedule tournaments and get equipment? It's a lot harder than you think. There's a lot of time invested, but it's great, man. And I appreciate you guys doing this. As I told Jeff, and you're going to hear me again with Jeffrey, and you heard me yesterday with Gabe, and I apologize if it's getting repetitive for people, but you know, I'm just trying to give some boys a chance to play the game of baseball, which I know, John, you're not a huge fan of. I would do it for a basketball team if I could, the same way. But just give them a chance to play where they can just go be kids and play, but they're a higher level of player than you know, some of the rec ball players, and they want to compete at the higher level. And I got nothing against rec ball. I love rec ball. In fact, I love going out and watching rec ball, watching kids just play to love to play. And it's pure. And then when they get better, but you want them to get better, and if they want to play junior high or high school or maybe even past that, they've got to compete and get their games up there. So we started this thing, and it's been a crazy idea. I was wondering for a long time if I could pull it off. I've got a group of parents that are really helping, and you know, a couple of coaches that keep me in line. I try to help them when I can because I do know a little something about the game of baseball and how to play it and how to teach those kids how to play it a little bit. But I also enjoy being a dad and watching my kid play and watching him succeed and at times struggle. So this is an awesome opportunity for us to raise a little money. And like you said, just go between the hours of 5 and 8. If you're going to go to Chick-fil-A, use the mobile app, pound that support community event. It doesn't add anything to your bill. And then Scott will be kind enough to give us a proceed to those sales, a portion of those proceeds.
Great stuff, Eric, man. We'll pass it along. Thanks for the time, as always, today, brother.
Appreciate you, brother.
I hope to talk more NBA basketball with you guys in the coming weeks during the playoffs.
You got it, man. Love Appreciate you.
See you guys.
Yep, he is Eric Hastine, radio voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. You know, Scott Malone didn't hire me. I applied when I was 15 years old at that location. Maybe he just
at that exact location.
Yeah, he's been there for a long time, and he didn't hire me. And you know, I need to know. You know,
you had a sus look to you.
I think it was. You know, I didn't fit the. And I'll be honest. I'd be a terrible. And he was right about this. I'd be a terrible Chick-fil-A employee.
Well, you're not a team guy.
I'm not. I don't want to say
Chick-fil-A's a team.
My pleasure. Sometimes I'm having a bad day.
How dare you?
No, they're amazing. They're relentless. Relentlessly positive people. They're like, no matter what's going on in their lives, in their day, whatever, it's just like, hi, how may I help you?
And like, why are you making them sound like a bunch of geeks?
That's just how they sound.
No, I think you're making fun of them.
And then you go, like,
and you said, I wouldn't do that.
You compare to that. I can't do it. I can't fake it.
You're not a team player.
Because people go through stuff, right? But you never know that at Chick-fil-A.
We found out about that about you at Great American Cookie. Like, that you couldn't work in service and team,
yeah,
you know, team atmospheres.
Also, Taco Bell, you know, learned there too. Like, what do you think is the closest fast food in terms of customer service to Chick-fil-A? Is there even a close second? And you would know. You're the fast food man.
It's a great question, John. Just in Who's terms of when I go two? Around, where do I see the best teamwork?
Yeah.
Outside of Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
That's a great, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying something's off the beaten path because they work together great in there, especially the new one over there by me on Macon. Dixie Queen!
Wow.
They can get us in and out of there very quickly. And I'm telling you, the bag of fries, you wouldn't believe how heavy and big it is.
Okay.
So they.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.